Deuteronomy 13. I'm going to be mostly looking at verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 5. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. This is the word of the Lord here. There are several of God's moral laws that have death as the punishment for them, which means that it causes more problems than just displeasing God. Breaking any one of the Ten Commandments will earn us eternal separation from God. We will be punished by death, and we will be sentenced to eternal separation from God. But no one is perfect. And for all of the commandments that we can read in Deuteronomy, there is not the death punishment. There is not capital punishment. Because God's intention was to make a working system for a society that was imperfect. Only those of which would call social disorder and breakdown did God instill capital punishment. Today we'll talk about false teachers and those who follow them. There will be several areas from our text we'll address under this broader umbrella. And first, before we go any further, we'll start with a word of prayer. Father God, I pray that you would use your truth and use your words, and that you would speak. God, I pray that you would help me speak what you would have me to. God, I ask that you would teach us through your word and through your spirit. In your name, Jesus. All right, so we can start, and we'll look at verses 1 through 2. If you are in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 2, we're talking here about false prophets. We're talking about someone who is coming to deceive and to lead us away from God. There will be false prophets and there will be false teachers. This is something that is guaranteed to come, and God, in his foresight, warned us of this. He even wrote this law in Deuteronomy 13 about what to do when this happened. Jesus himself warns us that they will come. This is in Matthew 7, 15 through 20. We're going to be a little bit back and forth, but this is another passage we'll refer to a lot today. So if you want to have your finger in both places, that'll work fine. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Jesus tells us to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Jesus says they will try to fit in. They'll try to look like the other sheep. They'll try to look like those that follow Christ, that follow God. They will attempt to fit in and even have some characteristics of their life that might look somewhat Christian. For sure, they'll definitely try to do anything. Whenever someone lies, they try to sprinkle a little bit of truth, a little bit of deception in there, just a little bit, to make it believable, to make it something that you would want to believe in. Jesus tells us how we can identify these false prophets, and we'll be able to see them for what they are. He says in verse 16, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." There are two ways that we can identify a false teacher. And Jesus talks a little bit about this. We can know them by their fruits. What are their fruits? They are their actions and their words. We can know them by their actions, whether what they do is upright, whatever what they do is lining up with Scripture, whether or not they're double living, if they're preaching one thing, but they're living life a different way, whether they're given to drunkenness. We can read this even in Titus 1, 5 through 16, where Paul gives the qualifications of an elder, the qualifications of a leader or a teacher. If they're given to hospitality, if they manage their house and their kids, or if they're a liar, if they have a bad reputation, if they're not bearing this kind of good fruit, if they're bearing bad fruit in these areas, the likelihood of them teaching what is right is not very high. So we'll know them by their actions, and we can also know them by their words. Again, we can see this in Titus 1, where Paul tells, he's telling Titus, okay, if you're going to be putting someone who's going to be teaching in a position in a church, then what they teach needs to be sound doctrine. For God has already revealed his truth. If their words do not line with Scripture, then why are you listening to them? Why are they teaching? We have in the Bible here what God has already revealed to be true. And so if there is some teacher who's teaching something that you can't follow it up with Scripture, you cannot find it in Scripture, it is a false teaching. Paying attention to both of these, their actions, and to a teacher's words is key, as they can even appear to do a lot of things. A teacher can even appear to do a lot of things that only a follower of Christ can do, as Jesus even goes on to say in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. If you still have your finger in that place, this is right after the passage we just read. "Not everyone who says to me," this is verse 21, "not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" There may even be some appearances that this person may be a follower of Jesus. If you remember in Deuteronomy 13, if we have a prophet or a dreamer of dreams who gives you a sign and a wonder and it comes to pass, but they're teaching you something that's wrong, let's follow after other gods. There are those that can even have the appearance that they're followers of Christ. But what are they teaching? What are their words? Is it lining up with Scripture? Is it lining up with what God has already commanded? There are those that may even cast out demons. They may give you signs and wonders that even come to pass. But if the message they teach is contrary to what God teaches, they are a false teacher, not God. We can see in Deuteronomy 13, verse 3. Move into this verse now. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. There will be false doctrine, and the question is, are you going to listen to it or are you not? Do you believe what is most convenient for you? Do you believe what is most convenient for you to believe? Or do you love God and trust Him more than yourself? Again, God has already revealed everything that we need to know, as it says in 2 Peter 1:3, everything needed for life and godliness is right here. He's already revealed everything you need to know. And so our response should be verses 4 through 5. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him, keep His commands and obey His voice. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. Hold fast to the truth that God has revealed. We have an adversary that is trying to dissuade all from coming to Jesus and persuade all who follow Jesus to fall away. He is proactive and He is powerful. As Paul says, He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He can do signs and He can do wonders. I think oftentimes we forget that our adversary is powerful. And He sends many spies to destroy the church. And unfortunately, He is often successful. Here are some current heresies in the Church of America. And while I know that's not much to go off of, there's a lot of different things that we disagree with in general with evangelicals or with those in America. My hope is by just going through a couple of these, you can be aware of some of the false doctrines that are out there that many people do in fact believe who claim to be Christians. This is what many in social media and movies, or even churches or TV, have been exposed to. Most of these I'm just going to not go into much depth about. But first, before I go into any of these, I want to define what is heresy. What is false doctrine? According to 2 Peter 2:1, it is anything that is contrary to the teaching of Jesus. Heresy is anything contrary to the teaching of Jesus. Or according to 1 Corinthians 11:19, it is anything disagreeing with what God has taught. Anything disagreeing with what God has revealed, anything disagreeing with what Jesus has revealed, this is heresy. This is disagreeing with what God has already taught. So what are some examples of a heresy? This is according to the State of Theology. This is a study that was done. There are 43% in the church who believe that God learns and adapts, when in reality, the truth is, God is unchanging. He doesn't change based off of the environment or what is happening in the world. God is unchanging, and His laws never change. His teaching never changes. In the church, there are 65% that believe everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God and later become imperfect and are sinful. This is wrong. Again, the truth is, we are born sinners. 26% of Christians believe that Christians do not have an obligation to go to church, when the truth is, as it says in Hebrews, we are not to forsake the gathering together of the saints. 43% of Christians believe that Jesus was a good teacher, but not God. The truth is, Jesus is God and a good teacher. There are 26% who believe the Bible has many good stories and myths, but is not literally true. The truth is, the Bible is literal and is true. 38% believe belief is a personal opinion, there is no objective truth. The truth is, there is absolute truth, and it is God's truth. 60% believe that the Holy Spirit is not a personal being. The truth is, the Holy Spirit, as part of the Trinity, is a personal being. Again, my motivation here is not to get into depth or an explanation about these, but just so you're aware of some of the commonly believed heresies that are actively in the church right now. There's a few more bigger ones that I'll go into a little bit more explanation on. Here's one of them. 56% believe in universalism. This is that God accepts worship of all religions, Islam, Judaism, Buddha, whatever it is. God accepts all religions and all forms of worship to himself. This one should be fairly easy to spot because God literally says, "You shall have no other gods before me. And all the gods of the peoples are idols." Not just that, but Jesus says in John 14:6 that he is the only way to the Father in heaven. There is no way to the Father except through him. Another one, this one has been around for a long time. 73% believe that Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. This is a form of Arianism, and it has been around since the 4th century AD. This is one of the branches of it. The truth is, Jesus is God, and therefore cannot be created by God. Jesus is not a created being. In fact, it even says in Colossians 1:15-16 that it was Jesus who created all things, and it was through Jesus that all things are. 56% of those in church believe that everyone sins a little, but most are good by nature. This is Pelagianism, and it denies the sinful nature of humans. Not only do we sin, we are identified by sin, as it says in Psalm 51:5 and Romans 5:12. We sin because we are sinful. We are not sinful because we sin. This one's an important one because it identifies us as not just people who do some bad things, but we're mostly good by nature. We are identified by sin, and we will forever be identified by our sin. It is only through God's grace that we can come to him. One last one, and this is probably one of the most common ones. This is the prosperity gospel, which we see, this one's probably been around the longest. We can see this one even in first century church, because Paul addresses it in 1 Corinthians 4, 18-13. He's preaching against those who are living as kings. They live so that they have their rewards now that they should seek in heaven. It's a teaching that we will not suffer now. We will not have any sickness. We will not have any disease. The only reason why you individually might have any physical ailment is because you might have just sinned. And this is contrary to what Jesus teaches, who teaches that we must take up our cross before we take our crown, and that we must suffer many things for his name. We do not have prosperity and blessing because we are so good. Any prosperity, any wealth, any blessing that we have is because God is so good. Now, there may be many thoughts they may be thinking right now, like, how am I supposed to know everything I need to know? How am I supposed to figure this all out? Or what do you do with a false teacher? If someone is teaching this, what do you do about it? Well, we'll get to there, but first, I have one last warning about these teachers and their doctrine. And the rest of our chapter, this is Deuteronomy 13, the rest of the chapter, God gives more scenarios of those that would seek to lead people away from him. Not only is he talking about those who are dreamer of dreams and those who are prophets, who gives a sign or a wonder and it comes to pass, but he also gives other scenarios. He tells if your mother or your brother, maybe it's your father, your sister, whoever it may be, a family member, if they're leading you away from God, that is also false teaching, and you should not listen to them. Even if there's a vast majority of people. At the end of this chapter, it's talking about if an entire city decides to follow after another god. That is still wrong. Just because the majority of people believe something, it doesn't mean it's the right thing. Our response should be, as Paul even says in 1 Corinthians 15, our response should be to hold fast to what is good and what is true. God even says it here, Deuteronomy 13:4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commands and obey his voice. Serve him and hold fast to him. So what do you do with a false prophet? In Deuteronomy, the punishment is death, as is the same for anyone who follows after other gods or bears false witness. In Titus 3:10, Paul tells us practically what we should do to those who bring division and heresy in the church. He is to be warned once, then twice, and then you are to have nothing to do with him. If he is a teacher in the church, he is to no longer be a teacher in the church. In other words, what I'm saying is, if there is a false teacher who is in the church, if there is false doctrine that is being spread, he is to be warned. He is to be, it's not just to be allowed. You don't just accept it and like, okay, I don't believe that, but he believes his own beliefs, I believe my own beliefs, that's fine. We'll just have our different opinions. That's not right. According to Paul, and according to what Jesus says, that person should be rejected from teaching in the church. We'll get into a little bit later why this is such an important thing and why there should be such strict separation from someone who decides to bring division and false teaching in the church. Indeed, it is a scary and hard thing to be a teacher. You cannot make up what you say. Everything, as a teacher in the church, everything that you say must line up with Scripture. Because in Matthew 18:6, this is where Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, other translations means to stumble, to stray, to fall away, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus takes those who lead others astray very seriously. And again, we can see in James 3, where James says, not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. James continues on in this chapter talking about how difficult it is indeed to tame the tongue. This is in James 3. If anyone is to be a teacher of others, he must be very sure that what he speaks is true and accurate to the Bible. He must be able to, as it says in Titus, be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So in all this, I think one key takeaway that we should have is that you are to evaluate a man's character before you let him preach. It is a lot easier to make sure that the person you are allowing to teach is going to teach sound doctrine than to later put him out from that position. Again, that's why Paul even gives us in Titus the qualifications of an elder, the qualifications of a teacher, and so that we can identify those who are capable of this. So, what is the application? What do we do now with this understanding that there are false prophets and there are false doctrines? You can be proactive to defend the truth. You can be proactive to do something about this. You can defend the truth. Notice how it's the truth and not your opinions and beliefs. Defend the truth. You can identify things that God hates and wants you to have nothing to do with. There are two big things that you can do, two big key takeaways. One is that you can proactively intake truth, and you can proactively take out lies. This is something that even this coming week you can do. Proactively intake truth and proactively take out lies. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." In other words, what Paul is saying here is what you spend your time doing and what you decide to learn will have an effect. So what are you going to do? Proactively intake truth or proactively intake lies? Or are you going to proactively take out the lies? Philippians 4:8 says that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is noble, if it's pure, if it's lovely, if it's of good report, these are the things that we should be meditating on. These are the things that we should be spending our time doing. Paul was saying earlier in Galatians 6 that what you spend your time doing, you will harvest those seeds that you planted. All right, so now that we've explained a little bit of what spending your time doing, that it is going to have an effect, let's get into these two points here a little bit more. Proactively intaking truth. What can you do? What can you physically do to intake truth? Obviously,
read the Bible.
That is the truth. You can trust every single word that's in here and take it as truth because it is God's words. We've had teaching before, we've had discussions before about why it is such a reliable book, how it is. Today, we're going to be talking about what to do about that. So, know scripture. As the psalmist wrote, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So, know scripture. Proactively intake truth. Proactively fill your life and your mind with the Bible. Know scripture. Second, study scripture. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "The study to show yourself an approved workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So don't just read scripture, don't just know it, study it. There's a lot of resources out there that you can use to help you study the Bible. Another thing you can do to proactively intake truth, align your teaching with scripture. When someone comes up here, or if there's someone you see on TV, if there's anything of that nature, align it up with scripture. This is what those did in Acts 17. When Paul was teaching, they proactively took up the scriptures and sought to see if these things were so. They searched the scriptures to see, is this truth? Another thing you can do is build your life on the scripture. So we're reading the scripture, we're knowing the scripture, we're studying scripture, we're aligning teaching with scripture, and now we're also building your life on scripture. Again, back in Matthew 7, and we'll go on to the next section here in the chapter, verses 24 through 29. "Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be as a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So after you've done all this reading, studying, and aligning things with Scripture, now build your life on that Scripture. Do something about it. Change how you're living your life. It's not just hearing it, it's doing it. One small note, very tiny small note I'm going to make is what Bible you'll decide to read. There are some Bibles out there that are not good Bibles to necessarily study. These would be, some of these are paraphrased Bibles, such as the Message. These are not, these are interpretation, more like devotional things. These are not the Bible. So just a small note on that. Be careful on which versions you decide to read and to study. All right, second big point I'm going to make here is proactively outtake lies. We talked about a bunch of things you can do to proactively intake truth. Now we're going to talk about how you can proactively take out lies from your life. Again, back in Matthew 7, you can read in verses 13 to 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." There is only one truth. That is God's truth. Whenever it comes to anything in reality, there's only one way that is right. One absolute truth. There are so many different lies that there can be about a certain subject, and they're all wrong. There can only be one right answer. To put in a little bit more concrete terms, if you don't understand, 2 + 2 = 4. There's a lot of wrong answers you can come up with. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's a lot of lies and wrong answers, but there's only one right answer. When we're talking about the narrow way, there is only one truth. That is God's truth. Jesus is the only way. And so, my point here being, don't study lies. Study the truth. When people are studying to be bankers and they're learning how to identify false currency, counterfeits. Yeah, that's the word. They don't try to figure out all the different things that are counterfeits. Like, oh, okay, this one has this little dot here, or this has this kind of paper. When they're training people to be able to see what is legal tender, they only give them the real money. They only give them the real bills. So that way, the way they know anything that is different from the real thing is wrong. You can do the same thing with studying Scripture. You don't study all the different lies and everything that is wrong out there. They'll keep on coming. There'll be new ones. They'll be changing. There's only one unchanging truth, and you can build your life on it, and you should study that truth. Besides it just making it easier to identify the lies. What's another way you can outtake lies? Watch your social media. There are plenty of influencers and pastors who are not bearing fruit to righteousness. They bring plenty of lies and tend to be sensational. There is a lot of things that you can see on social media, videos, reels, whatever it is. And you have to be careful if you're going to allow them to influence your life when their life is not looking how God would want it to have. Music. Watch your intake of music. Does it help you meditate on things that are noble, on things that are true, on things that are just? Movies. There are many fallacies and heresies in movies. Be careful what you watch. One thing that my family would often do is we would do the stop and play discussion period while we were watching a movie. oftentimes, as we were watching movies as a family, my dad would pause and we'll discuss the movie. Okay, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And we'll be able to see, okay, maybe we should not be watching this movie. TV. Whether a show or news, there is a lot of negativity and plenty of lies besides the obvious TV preachers. I'd hate to sweep all of them in the same category, but I have yet to hear of a TV preacher that is actually teaching truth and is actually living for the Lord himself. Again, there might still be some out there, but I've yet to hear of one. So, to reiterate, proactively intake truth, proactively outtake lies. This is something that, even into this next week, you can do something about. To build your life on the truth of Jesus. To build your life on the Bible. As a final word of warning, we must be careful and we must be wise. It is a slippery slope if we are not careful. If we're not careful to believe the truth. If we're not careful with those we allow to teach, those that we decide to spend our time with on social media, on TV, what books we're reading. As Amir Sephardi put it, if you hate that which God loves, you will start loving that which God hates. Be very, very careful that what you believe, what you hate, and what you love is lining up with Scripture. I'll leave on this note here. It is far easier to leave the wicked spirit at the door than to evict him from your home. Again, this is a warning. Even as God gave here in Deuteronomy 13, and even as Jesus gave in Matthew 7, there will be false teachers. There will be false doctrines. You can depend on it. But even more so than that, you can depend on Scripture and the truths that have held true over the millennia. The smartest people have tried to discredit it and have failed. And it just doesn't work because this is the truth. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father God, we do thank you for your truth. We do thank you for revealing yourself through your word to us so that we can know you. We don't have to go through someone else. We don't have to go through a pastor. We don't have to go through a priest. We can know you directly for ourselves because you are a personal God. I pray, God, that we can build our lives on you. And for all of us, including me, that we'll continue to change, to grow, to put you first. I pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.